underwater karate lessons, and how they can help your roundhouse cutbacks. Today on the Surfing Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Surfing Podcast. My name is Dan Bylak. I am your host on this show. On this episode, we're going to cover such topics as the best board to get for summertime surfing and waves, and the one I recommend, scoring good boards / good deals on boards on Craigslist, and how to do it. A very funny video series starring two surfer type characters I highly recommend you check out. And RV camping trips, why they are awesome, especially for the summertime if you are a surfer and want to go surf waves with not a lot of people and waves that are less crappy than probably where you live. So those are just some of the things. We'll probably, other things will come up as we go along, but that's what we're going to cover. So those things pique your interest. Awesome. If they don't, then how dare you? Just have some faith, guys. I pick out good topics for the show. I somewhat know what I'm doing, if not in the water, at least when doing the podcast, to make things that people will hopefully enjoy. So just let's leap of faith, guys. Leap of faith. And ladies, leap of faith. If you haven't already, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. That way you can get updates when we have new episodes out. And I post pictures and videos, and I'll have a lot more videos and stuff coming out this summer. And then if you haven't, this is the big one. If you haven't already, go on, subscribe and follow us on Spotify or iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. But if you could, please go leave us a positive review on iTunes. We've gotten a few recently more. I think people listen to the show and like, I like it. I'm not going to take the thing to go write a thing or a review. If you do, take 2 minutes and do it. We'd really appreciate it. It helps the show out. It helps people discover the show. And then more people will listen to this, which is makes it more fun for me to do. And that's it. That's the only plugging or bossing around I'm going to do this episode. Let's jump right into it. It's summertime here in beautiful Southern California. And by beautiful, I mean, you know, it's crowded and the waves are small and water sometimes dirty and it's not the best, but it's where I live. So I have to lie to myself and say that it's beautiful and a wonderful place to live. No, it actually is. I feel very lucky for getting to live where I live. I live in, you know, Orange County, which I've lived in beautiful, you know, Surf City, USA, as I've made fun of many times, Huntington Beach, home of some of the most consistent yet mediocre waves on the planet. You can surf almost every day of the year here. It's never good, but it's usually breaking. Today is probably the smallest day it's been in 6 months. It's like lapping up on shore. But besides today, you can surf most days. And today you could soft top or ride a fish, you know, and drag the skegs under the sand if you wanted to. So don't you know, if you really wanted it, you go out there and get it today. But I do not really want it. I'm doing errands and getting stuff done that I've been putting off. But anyway, Orange County, California is where I live. And in the summertime, we get fun waves, but we get a lot of crummy waves as well. We will get flat spells, which just happened this week for the first time. But we've been lucky. The last 6 weeks, we had a run of swell where it was a minimum of 2 to 3, 2 to 4 foot. You know, waist high to chest high at least every day for like a month and a half. And we had a couple swells where it got overhead. We had one real big swell on the 4th of July that was big everywhere and too big for all the beach breaks. But then the beaches were closed because of the COVID outbreak or the, you know, the second COVID outbreak. We went on 3 month lockdown here in Southern California, and then we came out of it, and then the numbers for COVID spiked super bad because everybody's not wearing a mask and going to fucking restaurants like they can't just make a sandwich at home. And so we've gotten, we had the 4th July weekend, they locked the beaches down again. But it was like for 2 days, and you could still totally surf if you wanted to. You just had to find, you know, places you could do it. I lived in Huntington. I drove down to Salt Creek, and the Salt Creek parking lot was closed, but you could drive like a less than a quarter mile up the street and park on like the street and then walk down. I walked down the hill and I surfed. I just got to surf Salt Creek. It was too big for it, and like complete like wash through, like mushy, like, you know, a couple feet overhead, mushy wash throughs, like set on the sets, but there were middle waves that you could get, so you could surf. So anyone's crying like, oh man, the government's keeping me from surfing. Not true. There have been 3 days total in the last 6 months that there was a lockdown where they said all the beaches were closed, you couldn't surf. And on those days, if you were savvy and had half a brain, you could find somewhere you could surf, or no one cared as long as you did it in an unobnoxious and an unintrusive way. So that's my 2 cents on that. So long story short, we've had waves for 6 weeks is what I'm trying to say. And it's been fun. It was like, the only problem is in the summertime, like May through June and July, we get a lot of time in Southern California. We get the California Eddy, which is like a wind, I don't know, current that comes off of Catalina Island, which is 26 miles off our coast, basically. And it just makes it windy the whole day. So you wake up, it's never glassy. It's always like slightly either south wind chop or even southwest or westerly wind chop all day long. So we had waves for like 6 weeks, but it never really got super perfect most days because it wasn't glassy. But a lot of the days, especially the ones of south wind, would have a glass off at night. So last hour or two before dark, it would glass off, and it had that kind of warbly, you know, shaken, you know, slightly swirled wine glass kind of chop, where it's like not choppy, but it's not completely glassy, but super fun. So you could surf. And we had just come out of the 3-month lockdown where they'd eased restrictions a little bit, and they weren't doing any more, you know, stuff in California where they're like not closing the beaches. So for 6 weeks, we got to surf our brains out. And that's exactly what I did. I surfed every day for at least, until 2 days ago, for every day for at least 4 weeks, probably closer to 6 weeks, surf every day, sometimes twice a day. I would go surf in the morning, go home and, you know, watch my son and do stuff with him and do work stuff, then surf in the evening before dinner, and then come back. So that was super cool. But it was like one of those runs where, like, I surfed a bunch because people forget, like, oh, when there's waves all the time, it's funny. Like, if there's waves for like a week, on like the sixth and seventh day of that week, the crowds really drop off because people take it for granted. I did not, because I am old and I remembered how flat it gets in the summer. Like 3 summers ago, it was flat for 2 months and the water was like 59 degrees. I was like, yeah, 3 or 4 summers ago. It was recently, within the last 5 years, but I think it was like 3 summers ago. Yeah, in Orange County, water was freezing. It was flat for 2 months. So the water was pretty warm. It was like mid 60s, upper 60s. So you could wear a spring suit or trunk it if you really wanted to. But there was waves every day. So I surfed my brains out, and I was still am in terrible shape, because the first 3 months of the COVID quarantine here in California, I had pretty much adhered to it. So I surfed maybe 6 or 8 times in that total 3-month period. And I just sat on the couch and blorped out and ate crappy food and gained like 20 pounds and just gained like 15, 20 pounds in like 3 months, just sat. And now for like the past month, I've just been trying to like eat better and not like a pig and surf and ride my bike and exercise and do stuff to thin down, because all my shortboards are like not floating as well as they were back in, you know, February or March. And it's because I'm a fat monster, guys. It's because I let myself go and quit believing in dreams and myself. Super bummer, but now I'm back in the program. So yeah, past 4 weeks been surfing terribly and out of shapely, as I will say, or pear shapely. And I've been doing stretches and exercises to get my back and my terrible snapping hip. My hip has that snapping hip syndrome where my left leg, when every time I lift my leg up, like my, you know, my knee up or bend my leg to my chest, my leg audibly snaps. You might have that on one or both legs. It's terrible. But there's simple exercises on the websites of the internet where you can do, like, I do about 15, 20 minutes each night of like stretches and like bridges and stuff like that. Maybe I'll make a video of that, an embarrassing how to fix your middle-aged gross leg body problem video and put on Instagram. It'll be like the ones Ian Crane puts on, where he puts on these videos, him like these killer exercises he does to prepare to surf, like 50-foot jaws. But I'll be doing the same exercises for when you're 25 years older than him and you're preparing to surf like 2-foot bowls, so, on a fun board with a spring suit and maybe like booties on, because you're an idiot like I am. But yeah, so let's jump into it. So the surfboard things for summer, like I said, mentioned at the top of the show, best surfboards to ride. I don't have a particular model or anything, but I'm gonna tell you this. I'm 6'3", 195 pounds. I'm like 220 pounds, which is sad. But I ride very conventional, like short, like if I'm 6'3", I ride like a 6'2". And if I have a shorter gravel board, like a 6'0", but I ride my boards like 32 liters. And I was down to like 31 last year because I tried a thinner board than I even had, because I had gotten in much better shape and dropped some weight. But after the COVID thing, all my shortboards are now, I'm literally 20 pounds too heavy for most of my shortboards. They still work, but it's like getting into waves is a little bit harder. And I've been scrambling to exercise and lose weight the last month. And I have, but not as much as I'd like, as quickly as I'd like. So what I did is, I have a problem because I like I said, I like to ride conventional shortboards. I'm not really big. I'm not like a big fish guy or like a Hayden Shapes whatever board kind of guy or whatever, or super short or super weird or super funky. I just like a regular standard shortboard, whatever that is now. A board, you know, I consider a shortboard like a board your height to a couple inches shorter, you know, like a thruster, nothing too crazy. Not like the, you know, and then smaller and weirder, there's boards too, but that's what I normally ride. But I treated myself, and I was like, oh, I wanted to get a new board for summer, like a groveler, especially because I was fatter. But I talked to my buddy Tim Stamps, who I usually get boards from, And a funny thing happened during the quarantine. Everybody quit surfing for a bit, but then a lot of people didn't quit surfing, but like surfing slowed down a little bit because surf shops are closed. But everybody got that $1,200 stimulus check, or the ones that did got it and used it to buy like, you know, a quiver of surfboards. So when I went to Stamps a few weeks ago to get a couple boards, a Graveler and like a new shortboard, he was like, dude, it's like a 2 month wait for boards because I'm so backed up. So I ordered boards, but then I was jonesing because I'm too fat for my short boards and I wanted to get a summer board, and that's where I was at. And I was like trying to think like, what kind of board would I want to get? I don't really want to get like a fish right off the bat. I don't want to go from a short board to like, you know, a twin fin fish. And it's hard for me to take some of the other shorter boards seriously because I just think they're novelty boards or boards for like people that either absolutely rip or kooks that are just taking them and going over the falls in them. So, you know, I don't want to do that. But I split the difference. I looked online and I'm like, I want to get like a thicker summer board. And here's my recommendation for a summer board for you. It can be whatever kind of board you want. Just get a board that's like 2 or 3 liters more than what you normally ride. That's it. That's my advice, because it doesn't matter what, like, or like with a longboard, like, or ride a longboard or get a wave storm or something. Just ride something different than what you ride. If you ride a longboard, I mean, then try a short, like get a short, thick, floaty fish, you know what I mean? Or even a shortboard, a thicker shortboard, try a different length. But if you ride like standard boards or semi-standard boards, just get a board that's thicker. The reason being, it's fun when it's small and the boards float better and go faster, and it doesn't really matter if you're not ripping as hard as you think you should be ripping. It's just a board to ride when it's crummy to give you, like, it's more fun to catch waves on a board with more foam because you're actually catching waves. You have like this killer streamlined board, but you're not catching waves, you're sinking as soon as you get them. No fun. What I did, I went online and I looked a lot of Channel Islands makes a lot of these, and Lost makes a lot of boards. You know, Lost makes a ton. They made like the RV, which is like a short fat board, the Puddle Jumper, which is a really short fat board that I have a couple friends that ride that really swear by them and love them. And they come out with a couple, you know, summer models every year in the spring. I got the Rad Ripper, which is basically all it is like an 80s shortboard. It's like shorter, fatter, and thicker than a regular shortboard, and it's got a cut in by the last foot of the tail or so, like a stinger, like, you know, like a step down. I forgot what they're called. I should have wrote that down. Whatever it's called, but it's got like a cut in the back fins, and the tail's really wide, and it's a 5-fin FCS or future setup. The one I found was FCS, and I ride it as a quad, and it's so fun. The board has a ton of it has a ton of V through the tail and a double concave through the fins, and it's a more tail rocker. But the outline is very straight. It's very straight, like beaky nose, like very low rocker in the front, and it looks like it shouldn't work at all, and it looks like it should be super tight and not turn at all. It's the exact opposite. It's like honestly one of the loosest surfboards, whether I ride it as a thruster or as a quad, that I've ever ridden. If you put your foot in the tail pad and like far enough, you know, just back in the tail pad between the fins, it pivots it like any other board, and it's this thick, disgusting, ugly beast of a surfboard. It's not the prettiest thing in the world, and you're not going to do the prettiest turns of your life, but it's so fun to ride. I could surf for four or five weeks every day in a row and double sessions, is I would ride that board at least probably 50 or 60% of the time that I surf, because the waves weren't good all the time. But it's super fun. Like, you catch waves and it goes, and you can still turn it. And that's the thing. If you get a board with more leaders, and like I said, all those models, the Channel Islands has the Average Joe, the Flyer, all these other boards, and they're just shorter, fatter water surfboards. And then you could go completely crazy and get like a Rob Machado, like a $900 Seaside, you know, like 5'2" twin fin with like the special helium glassing if you're spending that much money. But you don't have to. Just get a weird fun board. Get a board that's different, like different than what you would normally ride. Even if, you know, even as your second, you know, backup board, like I usually have a regular short board that's 6'2" and like a 6'0" Graveler. Get something that's just different. And like the Rad Ripper for me was just super different. I would never normally ride a board like that, especially somewhere good or somewhere like the Huntington Pier, where it's competitive because it's crowded and you have to like hustle for waves and try and surf your best so people don't snake you for being a kook and stuff like that. But I have so much fun in it. There have been days that were like mediocre, like windy, or like, you know, waves are like 2 foot that on my normal shortboard I could surf on, but I just wouldn't be able to motivate myself to do it. Totally motivated. And I'll put a list on the listing list on the surfingpodcast.com when I post this show. I'll put a list of some board models and links to ones that I like or that I think it would be comparable to like the board that I'm writing right now. And you should definitely check it out. And with that being said, don't go spend $1 million on a summer board. Okay. Even though I mentioned like Lost and Channel Islands and even, you know, Stamps makes a bunch of summer boards like the Flare and the FX and all these cool boards. If you can afford it, get a used one. If you can afford it, get a new one and support your shaper. Yeah, that's super rad. But if you can't afford it or want to save some money, get a used one, because it makes it like, if you get a board for half the price of what it costs new, especially for the summer, it's going to be a lot easier to ride it in the summer when it's crowded and there's a bunch of goofballs on like wave storms or rental boards or whatever that are probably going to be in your way or fall in front of you or bail their board in front of you or run you over or do all the things that novice surfers do that regular surfers find frustrating, and you'll get a lot less mad. So I got like the rad Ripper I got. I think it retails for like $700 in shops plus tax plus traction pad. You're looking at like $800. I got it online for like $300 used, and I was happy to get it because the guy I got it off of, it was like brand new. He had ridden it maybe, there weren't even foot dents and the board was super white. It was like brand new. Like I could easily taken it and sold it for $400 the next day on Craigslist. And I was stoked on that. So I would say if you're getting like, you know, if a new board is $600 or $700 or $500 retail for like non-famous boards, or if you get a bro deal for like $400 plus tax or whatever, that's great. But you should be able to get like I said, I got a Lost like name brand like gravel board for like $300. You should be able to get one for way cheaper than that, you know, like not way cheaper, but like I would say probably $250 and probably $200 if you find one that has a couple dings. The board I got was like brand new, and I got it for that price. I'm like, wow, I can ride this for a couple months and I can still sell it. You know, even if I put a ding in it and get it fixed, I can still sell it for the same price I bought it for. But after having it, I'm just going to keep it as my go-to like screw around board. I saw a couple that were like, not better, but they were like a little bit cheaper, or ones that I wanted, they were either too far away or they sold out immediately. And here's the deal. I'll tell you, here's how to score good boards and good deals on Craigslist. It's hard, because if you casually like bring up Craigslist on your phone or on your computer, you know, through the day when you're just bopping around and you see boards that you want, a lot of times the better the board and the cheaper it is and the better the deal, the board's going to be gone immediately. Like by the time you email them and they get you back, they won't email you back, or they'll be like, oh, sorry, board sold. Or you'll just see the listing go away, and it was because that means it was sold. Here's what you do. You go, very simple, if you have an iPhone or Android or whatever, just get the regular Craigslist app. No crazy like Craigslist Shopper or Craigslist, you know, Sniper Bidwinner app or anything like that. Just the normal boring Craigslist app with a purple peace sign on it, and then just load it on your phone and then just do a search for surfboards in your area, you know, and that's it. And what you want to do is keep the app in your phone, and when you wake up first thing in the morning or early in the morning, check the app do your surfboard search each day for boards. Like I would say like at 7 in the morning, like 9 in the morning, because that's when dudes like post their boards, or at night, like 9 o'clock at night, like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So check two or three times a day, 7 a.m., 9 a.m., or 7, 8, 9 in the row, because I guess it's the morning time when people put stuff up, or at night. And you, as soon as a listing for a board goes up that you want, whatever contact information they have, usually it's either like an email or a text or a phone number, do all three. Hit them up as soon as the thing goes up. Like if it's like, oh, text or email, text them and email them. And if it says that you can call them, call them. If it doesn't say please call, don't call, because that's invasive. Text, call, email, or whatever. As many options as they give you to contact them, do them all at once and offer to pick the board up right then and there. Be ready to pick the board up. And I know some people are like, well, then you're going to seem needy and blah, 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 blah. No, because if you contact someone on Craigslist, I think a lot of times people post with a price that's a little high and there's a little bit of wiggle room. But if you see a thing that's a good deal, email them or text them and offer to pay that price immediately if you can afford it and go pick it up. It's just one less hassle, dude. When you post stuff on, I don't know if you probably have, you live in the States, if you've ever posted something for sale on Craigslist or even to give away, it is a pain in the ass. People flake out, don't show up, they're weird. Or if you're trying to buy something, same thing, people flake out, you know, don't show up, try and jack you on the price, or they're selling something that's weird and broken. If you're just straightforward with people, especially dealing with Craigslist, and offer like, I will come, you know, cash or Venmo or whatever you want, meet you, you know, meet somewhere safe, like, yeah, like a Starbucks parking lot, safe-ish, or, you know, don't invite strangers to your house if you can afford it. But It's freaking, I mean, that's the way to go. That's the best way to score Craigslist stuff. Check first thing in the morning, and then like 8 or 9 o'clock at night when people are settling down after dinner or whatever, when they're on TV, you know, they're watching TV on their phone, and just have the app on your phone and just surf through it and contact the people immediately and offer to buy it right there. If you see the thing at 9 o'clock at night, don't be like, offer to drive to the guy's house at night. That's going to creep them out. You don't want to get murdered. But be like, hey, I'll pick the board up tomorrow morning as early as you want. I'm telling you, when you take out the factor of being a pain in the ass, be the least amount of a pain in the ass and the easiest sale these people have ever made in Craigslist, they will sell you the board and then you'll get it and you'll totally score. But you do have to look around because good boards go really quick on Craigslist. That's why you have to check several times a day, especially in the morning, and be on it, or else you're going to be like, you know, you're going to get left in the lurch. So it took me a few weeks to do it, and I'm glad that I did, and I'm passing that knowledge on to you. You're so welcome. Finally, I got a couple more things before I wrap this one up, this episode. There's two guys, Chad and JT. That's their names. They're characters. They're actually two guys that are young comedians. I believe they're originally from Orange County, California. But they do these characters. They have a YouTube channel and an Instagram page called Chad Goes Deep. And it's Chad is like the blonde surfer guy, and JT is like the quiet brown hair guy. And they play like two kind of dopey surfer guys that like give speeches. Their claim to fame is they would go make speeches at like city council meetings in favor of saving the Great Barrier Reef or getting a Paul Walker statue put up or kind of goofy shit. And they ended up doing such a good job. Their videos went viral. Their clips of them speaking at city council meetings went viral. They used to appear on Fox News TV shows, and instead of going on and picking on the Fox News people and yelling at them, they would just be really positive and play along with it, like all the stuff they said, but say really outrageous stuff. They did such a good job and got such a good following that, like, I think earlier this year, early 2020, they got invited to be on Ellen, the Ellen DeGeneres show. So they're very funny, but they play like Chad and JT, these two clueless surfer guys. And this week they put out a video that is near and dear to my heart and that I can't get enough of, and I highly recommend. I'll put a link in the show notes for this episode. They made a video on YouTube and they post on Instagram called Solving the Mask Shortage in Huntington Beach. And basically they bought a box of masks, you know, face masks, face coverings. And they went down on the promenade in Huntington Beach on Main Street, right underneath the pier and around the pier and right on Main Street. And they offered to give free masks to people, to anyone not wearing masks. And some of the young people are like, oh, I'm not wearing one, but I would wear one cool. And most of the older people were telling them to fuck off and saying it's a conspiracy theory and COVID wasn't real. And it tickles me to death because the whole time these two guys, Chad and JT in the videos, stay so positive. Like one guy's like, fuck you, won't wear a fucking mask. And as they're walking away, Chad's like, man, hey, this guy's got passion. I like passion. I respect that. You know, like they just put a positive spin on everything, no matter how bad or how dumb people act towards them. So I love it because the place where they're filming, like in front of the little Zach's like beach place and the grass place, that is the exact place that I park my bike and lock my bike and surf there every fucking day of my, you know, pretty much life whenever I surf. And those are the exact people I see not wearing masks and being just total dipshits and, you know, handing out pamphlets about crazy QAnon conspiracy theories and shit like that. So it's just like, if I made a video, I would go down and yell at these fucking people and tell them they all die of, you know, of ass cancer or whatever. Because I just can't handle stupid people, and it make me so angry and embarrassed to live in Huntington Beach and be from, you know, Southern California. But I think that the Chad and JT guys just do such a good job and do it, like pointing out how absurd people like that are, but doing it in a positive way and like not making fun of them, you know, and poking fun, but not in a way that's like calling them names or calling them stupid or anything like that, or ridiculing them, making like setting them up to look like assholes, just letting them be assholes and then like reacting like kind of like positive, like, okay, man, well, yeah, that's your opinion, bro. Cool. You know, it's just, they're super funny. Their videos are fucking hilarious. And I'm sure you've seen them before, but I just can't not give a shout out to a thing that happened. You know, in the video, they're so like, they're where I surf, where I park my bike. And then they're on Main Street, the places before COVID happened. Like they're in like the stores and businesses that I would go down and get coffee at with my kid and stuff and see all these idiots downtown, you know, when the first anti-virus quarantine protests happened. So to see these guys put a positive spin on it, super cool, super funny. I'll put a link to their videos and stuff in the show notes for this thing. And finally, for this episode, Recently, a family member of mine has purchased a RV camper. My mother is retired and she doesn't do much, and COVID, you know, with the COVID lockdown and quarantine and just COVID in general existing, she can't do much. She can't go anywhere, and she can't, you know, her and her friends in her retirement community, you know, she has a group of friends that they hang out with, but from a distance, you know, they talk on the phone or they meet once a week or something and sit in a big circle outside one of the grass areas to chit chat. But my mom's bored and she wants to do something. So she bought an RV camper, which means that me and my wife had to help her buy an RV camper because she didn't want to do any of the research herself because she's old and retired and set in her ways. But we helped her find one. My wife went with her to buy it because me and my mom have way too much friction to buy a vehicle together. My wife is much more mellower than I am. They went and bought the RV together. My mom now owns an RV. And since my mom's pretty funny, my mom has an RV, but she does not want to go far in the RV. Basically, she wants to go anywhere within like 30 to 45 minutes from her house and like camp. But luckily, we live by the beach. So she basically just wants to go to like Bolsa Chica or, you know, the south side of the pier at the State Beach that has RV spots, or the, you know, river jetties or Newport Dunes, or maybe as far as like Doheny. That's about it. That's all she wants to do. And since we live so close to her, we all live in Orange County and within, you know, close distance of each other, I have basically been assigned to get the RV when she wants to go, drive it down, set it up for the day, and then have her just go pick her up, drop her off at the RV. She can spend the day in the RV. My son, you know, he's younger, can go visit her and then pick her up at the end, and then she goes home, and then I pack the RV up and drive it and put it away. So I love my mother very much and I'm happy to do that. But after my mom bought the RV, she basically, I mean, let us know that was her plan, and then she basically told me and my wife that like the RV was basically ours to use as much as we want, and she would prefer us to use it more than just letting it sit, because, you know, she did buy it, she wants it to be used and stuff like that. So we took her advice to heart. So she picked up our RV last week, and we went to Target and bought a bunch of stuff like bedding and all the stuff you need for it. And I bought jumper cables and leveling blocks and all this crap and all the sewer cable, the better, because they give you such crap. They give you the worst sewer cable, like pipe hose in the world when you buy an RV. They just do. So I bought a better sewer hose setup and all the bins and stuff to store the black water and the gray water, this black water and freshwater hoses in different sizes. And I read up all about our thing. I flushed and sanitized the water tank and fixed a couple things that were loose and tightened the thing on the sink. And now we took the RV out. We did a 2-night trip to Newport Dunes, which is super fun for kids. It's basically the back bay of Newport Harbor where all the sewage enters, or as far as I can tell, is where all the sewer pipes go. But it's this water thing. It's off of Jamboree Road, which is named after the Boy Scout Jamboree, because they had it there like 60 or 80 years ago, and they have it every year, every other year, you know, there. I don't think they're having it this year because of COVID. But long story short, it's like a beach RV park. There's no waves. It's like a back bay. It's like a harbor. But in the middle of the filthy harbor, you can swim out, and it's super shallow. And there's like all these inflatable like slides and avalanche igloos and stuff you can climb on. So went there with my son, and we you know, went on the beach there and played for 2 days, and, you know, got used to sleeping in the RV, and a couple little things broke and I fixed them. Real simple, you know, like the bathroom sink they didn't screw on all the way, so I screwed the fixture and had to take apart the cabinet and blow dry out where the water had leaked, which was not the best thing, but pretty easy to do. Like I said, sanitized the tanks, got all the water running, set up all the TV inside, and got the Wi-Fi and the Amazon Fire Stick working so my mom can watch TV shows when she's in the RV or outside the RV. So there's an outside TV. My point is, we did a test mission. So then we 2 nights there, we came home for a couple hours, and then we headed on the road, and we went on a 4-day trip to Morro Bay. We drove up about a 5-hour drive from Orange County, because we took the coast, and you can go like 65 in an RV, but in some of the stretches of mountain twisty turning roads by Los Alamos, I was going like 50 because I was terrified I was going to drive off the side of a cliff with my family in a fucking drivable 15,000 pound, you know, house. So my point is, we went up to Morro Bay, we stayed at a little RV park. It was super cheap. It was like $49 a night for full hookups and electricity and cable and internet. And we were walking distance of the beach, and I went with my family, and we walked, and my son rode his Razor scooter along the boardwalk into town, which is like a mile away from the RV spot, a mile and a half. And we just went to the beach for 3 or 4 days and just totally cruised and kicked it. And it was super fun, because if you listen to the last episode of this podcast, where for 45 minutes I just ranted about all the idiots in Orange County that I can't believe won't take COVID seriously and or wear a mask and or believe in conspiracy theories, I had just been, after 3 months, you know, 4 months of hanging out in Orange County and being stuck in the house with my family, which I love, but being stuck in the house with my family, RV trip was rad just in general, but it was rad for surfing because I had been so, even though I've been surfing for a month straight, you know, back in the swing of things, like every day, I was getting fed up with surfing the pier because it's crowded even when it's small and there's people in the way, and going up north, there was just super fun. There's tons of surf breaks in Central California. I was saying we went to Morro Bay because Morro Bay and Morro Rock are very, you know, very easily found areas. And the beach break at Morro Bay is like, or Morro Rock is like 3 miles long. So you're not, you know, you can go surf there, pretty much pick any crappy peak you want. It reminds me a lot of like Bolsa Chica here in Huntington. It's not like a great beach break, but it's fun, dude. And it's serviceable. And the first day we were there was like, you know, it was like waist to shoulder, almost shoulder high. And then it dropped and got smaller, but they have wind swell up there. So even though the last day we were there was like 2 foot wind swell, but it was super consistent. It was like little rolly waves. I rode my gravel board. Would have rode a fish. I had a fish on me, or rode a longboard. It would have been super fun anyway you look at it. And then the summer water is like 58. You wear like a 3.2. You're fine. If you wear a 4.3, you're like styling, but I wore like a 3.2 the whole time. It was fine. I didn't wear booties, but I just surfed perfect, not perfect, but fun little waves by myself or with like, you know, a couple people. And the more in the early mornings, it was crowded. Like, and by crowded, I mean, there's like 8 people on fishes and longboards and stuff. Mostly a lot of like, I think, SLO, San Luis Obispo, like college students and stuff, and then super cruisy, you know, 50, 60, 70 year old older guys. And it was just fun. It was nice to surf in a different mindset where like I was out, and if a little tiny wave came and I was sitting by somebody, I would make a point to like paddle out or paddle over the wave to let the person know I was not in any way trying to catch the wave or stop them from catching it or hog waves. It was just, and like with the winds felt super consistent. One morning it was small and I ran down real quick to the beach before we were walking into town, and I maybe surfed for 45 minutes, maybe an hour total. And I honestly caught at least 25, 30 waves in one session because the waves are small. Caught a little wave, rode it and did like a little floater or whatever, kicked out, paddled back out, was out the back in like 30 seconds. Wait a minute, caught another wave. I caught like 30 waves in an hour, and 25 waves an hour. Super fun. But it just, and you know, I talked to some of the local surfers, some of the younger guys that were actually like more hardcore surfers, some of like the casual college, you know, guys riding goofy fishes and stuff like that. There was a guy seen in an RV park who was like the maintenance guy who grew up surfing down in Long Beach back in the day before the break wall down here in Orange County. Well, Long Beach is kind of just north of Orange County, and had surfed a lot in Huntington and like down Newport and San Clemente and stuff back in like, you know, the 70s and whatnot, and cruised and talked to him. It was a cool way to recharge my batteries as far as surfing was concerned. But yeah, I highly recommend it. RV trip, super fun. Whether you get there's RV rental companies. I'm saying go out and buy an RV, or you know, I guess if you can con one of your relatives into buying an RV if they have money to buy one. No, the RV thing was completely a surprise. My mom just out of the blue one day called me and said I'm buying it. She was buying an RV, and I was like, okay, you know, we helped her do it, and took a few months to get it, you know, because she was, there was a process of like what she wanted to get. She was going to get a travel trailer and a truck and then an RV and then a used RV and then a new RV and all this stuff. So it went back and forth, but she finally got one and it was super cool. But yeah, if you're thinking about RVing, I highly recommend renting one and trying it out and just going on a short surf trip. Just go, you know, somewhere less than 50 miles from your house, just to try it out overnight for a night or two, see if you enjoy it. That's what we went on the first 2-night trip to see if anything was going to be broke on the RV my mom bought and fixed anything that was broke. But then like, you know, the next, right after that 2-day trial was done, we drove up the coast and we spent like three nights or 4 nights. I don't remember, but we were up in Morro Bay for like 3 nights, 4 days, and it was super duper fun. And in the summer, like I mentioned at the top of the show, Southern California, the waves get flat, especially like, you know, Orange County and stuff like that. We're going to be flat for like the next week. I'm up in the Central Coast. The waves were small, but it was like 1 to 2 foot, like almost 3 foot in the right tide every day. And I looked at the report this morning. The pier right now in Huntington is 0 to 1 foot, and it's lapping up on shore. And the place where I surfed in Morro Bay, just a little simple like run of the mill beach break, was totally surfable, like 1 to 2, you know, maybe almost 3 foot. And it was totally fun to surf up there. And like in the Morro Bay, like the beach is long enough, like, if I want to surf by myself, and it's kind of sharky up there, so it's kind of sketchy to surf by yourself. But I literally, one morning when I surfed, there was like, you know, like 10 guys, and I didn't want to feel like I was making more crowd at the main peak. I just paddled up the beach like 100 yards, and then I was literally surfing by myself on the same exact, you know, not goofy, like not perfect waves, but, you know, good for a turn or two and going down the line. But it was awesome. And like I said, just meeting other surf people that were just cruisy and not like super competitive or Orange County people. It was I highly recommend it. So if you can, you know, rent, borrow, steal, whatever, if in best case scenario, win the lottery and buy an RV, and or just go camping. You can do the same thing. You can do it in a car. You can camp, get a tent, and go camping somewhere, you know, anywhere you don't live, and try out the waves. It's a real cruisy place. And the places that are by surf breaks where you're camping, most people are pretty cool because they're on the same page. It's not heavily localized or anyone, because everyone's just like, whether you're going down to Carlsbad or, you know, or up north or somewhere, or anywhere around here, wherever there's an RV park like Bolsa Chica, it's usually just mellow beach breaks or mellow spots that are super fun to surf. And no, everyone's just there to have fun, not like your local, you know, like surfing the pier where I've got to like stab a guy in the eye with a sprinkler key to get a fucking mushy left, and I'm gonna get dropped in on by five kids riding fucking, you know, catch surf beater boards. But yeah, that's it. Okay, so for the Surfing Podcast, my name is Dan Bylock. I've been your host. Please, again, subscribe, leave us a positive comment or a review on iTunes, follow us on social media. And if you have any ideas for episodes or other stuff you want me to talk about, please leave it in the comments anywhere, like on Instagram, or hit me up on Twitter or whatever. And also, I forgot to mention 2 months ago, before, you know, in the heat of the COVID, or in the middle of the COVID first quarantine that we had in Orange County, I bought a GoPro camera. I was going to start making videos, like surf videos and stuff like that, and then I just got kind of burned out on doing everything. I took the third month of quarantine was hard to me. I was just burned out. I was angry, and I was not happy with how anything was being handled on any level, from the highest to the lowest ends of government and people and otherwise, and I just didn't do a whole lot creatively. There's web series stuff I should be working on for the toy web series I do. I just took a month off mentally and didn't do anything. Was just kind of frustrated and just kind of shut down. But again, a weirdo, you know, RV camping trip made me super excited to make and do things again. Hopefully that sticks around. That feeling sticks around for at least a week, and the waves stay flat for a week, because then I'll get a bunch of stuff done. But yeah, I'm going to use the GoPro to just post some simple videos. I'd eventually like to use the GoPro to paddle out, especially and get like surfers, local ones and ones from other places, and just do in the water interviews at places, like go surf like an off the wall. Like if I've interviewed someone from Huntington, I'd have them surf like 17th Street or Golden West, one of the really uncrowded and crappier beach breaks, and just between waves, just do an interview where I ask them questions or talk to them about certain stuff, and then cut those together into interviews. That was my idea or impetus for getting the GoPro camera. Also, and for filming my son when he boogie boards, and my kid's like seven. He just likes to run and jump on the whitewash like 20 feet before they hit the sand boogie boarding. He's not into going out. You know, it's like going outside and taking off on 6 foot sets or anything. But I got that the GoPro for two reasons. One, to film fun things with my wife and my kid, especially at the beach, and two, to do some type of interviews or whatnot for the podcast. So hopefully that will come to fruition. Anyway, be safe, be nice, get some waves, do the best you can, and I'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening.